This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The SEC wants investors to remember that a lot of what they call cash isn't really cash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A divided Securities and Exchange Commission has voted to change the way money market funds work. This after there was a run on a big money market fund after its value dropped during the 2008 financial crisis. Now, some investors will be surprised to even learn that a money market fund could drop, that cash is only a metaphor. One solution is to make money market funds publish their fluctuating net asset values so investors can watch them go up or down as a reminder. But this proved controversial at the SEC, and only some money market funds will have to show the fluctuating indicators, the ones used by the big dogs, the institutional investors. Money market funds for individual investors are not subject to the rules change. Charles Calamiris is a finance professor at the Columbia Business School.
The advocates of this say it will stabilize the withdrawal risk. The opponents say that it will actually incentivize even faster withdrawal risk.
There's another piece of this, too, which would be during a time of crisis, the new SEC rule would allow money market funds to limit withdrawals and actually put extra temporary fees on withdrawals?
That's right. And again, the people who are for or against this new rule both have exactly the same goal, which is they'd like to see less withdrawal risk from the money market mutual fund. The people who advocate it say, well, by allowing this sort of stopgap measure, you'll stabilize the system during difficult times. The opponents say, by having a rule that allows me to impose limits on withdrawals, investors will all the more want to get their money out during difficult times before such a limit is imposed. So what's really ironic is that people who want exactly the same thing, which is to limit the sort of sudden run risk or withdrawal risk, are both advocating the rule change or opposing the rule change.
Charles Calamiris is finance professor at the Columbia Business School. Professor, thanks.
My pleasure.
Workplace discrimination comes in many forms and shapes, but research from the University of Colorado shows how women and minorities are often punished for promoting other women and minorities. North Carolina Public Radio's Leonida Inge reports.
Researchers at the University of Colorado say they think they've solved the puzzle of why there's still a glass ceiling. They say women and minority leaders are discouraged from focusing on diversity, while white men are praised for doing so.
This is a double standard. There's no question that this is just straight-up discrimination.
Matthew Cohut is managing partner of KNP Communications. He says a positive case for diversity has to be made again and again.
Certainly my hope would be that would minimize the impact of this double standard and that would begin to chip away at it.
But in the meantime, the best and the brightest employees could still be overlooked. Lisa Broom heads the Director Diversity Initiative at the University of North Carolina Law School.
So I would really hate the result of this to be that people don't go to bat for whomever they believe the best candidate is, regardless of that person's gender or race.
The study suggests one way to change this behavior is to get rid of the idea of diversity and instead focus on demographic unselfishness. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
Last year alone, tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors have been picked up by the U.S. Border Patrol at the Mexican border and taken to detention centers. Most come from three countries, El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Maria Elena Salinas is the co-anchor of the big newscast Noticiero Univision, as well as a primetime news magazine on the network. She traveled to all three countries to get a stronger sense of how children, sometimes with the support of their families, sometimes not, make the calculation to try for the U.S. border. Ms. Salinas, thanks for joining us.
Great to talk to you.
When children unaccompanied leave, economic conditions in the home country are a major factor, you found?
Oh, definitely a major factor. We're talking about three of the poorest countries in the hemisphere, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, in particular Guatemala, where you have 70% of the population in rural areas that lives in poverty, some with under $1 a day. So definitely poverty is a major, major factor in this exodus.
From your reporting, what about on the personal level with families? They want to be reunited with children, but they must be terrified about the children traveling across those borders.
It is very difficult on the family. And I think what we found was, on the one hand, it's true that there are family members here in the U.S. who were paying these coyotes or smugglers anywhere from $6,000 to $9,000 to bring their children over. But we also found a lot of children leaving on their own, not being sent, not being accompanied by these smugglers. So it's incredible how resilient these children are, how resourceful they are. When they have nothing, they find ways.
But help me better understand the calculation here. If a child thinks they're going to end up in a detention center, they think that gives them, what, a better shot to stay?
The government is obliged to maintain these children for at least 72 hours, turn them over to the Health and Human Services Department, and they will begin deportation proceedings. Most of the time during those proceedings, they will turn them over to family members or friends while they await a result. So a lot of these children end up staying in the U.S. But with the attention that this situation is getting now, some children who might have had the opportunity to stay will now not stay because it was just too politically risky.
Univision's special Between Abandonment and Rejection aired this week. Maria Elena Salinas is co-anchor of the Univision Network's national newscast. Maria Elena, thank you.
It's my pleasure, David.
One last statistic on this. Since last October, about 57,000 unaccompanied minors have been caught at the United States southern border. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.